Okay, we are on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, and we have been discussing the Seder of Paraduma. And we said yesterday a statement of Ula on Mem Beis Amud Beis, where he said, Kol HaParsha Kula Mashma Meitzi Miyad Mashma O Mashma Memela. In other words, if you go through the Seder HaPsukim at the beginning of Parshas Chukas, there are some psukim which have a mashmos which seems to go against the previous mashmos of earlier psukim or the aforementioned pasuk, and you have some psukim where the mashmos just stands and remains. And you know, we mentioned yesterday the first couple of psukim where in the first pasuk we had four things which we learned. There were really three phrases, and in those first three phrases we learned four separate dinim, and we were going through based on Rav and Shmuel and the way that they understand the various dinim as to who is supposed to shech the paraduma. Are we speaking about the kohen, the skan kohen? Are we speaking about someone else? And we ended off about 10 lines down with the word bikihunay. And now we move on to V'tamei HaKoyen Ad Harev. So we say like this, V'tamei HaKoyen Ad Harev. So what does it mean, V'tamei HaKoyen? Again, the question is always why the need to reiterate. Are we not speaking about Kohanim the whole time? Why does it need to say V'tamei HaKoyen Ad Harev? So we say Koyen B'kihunai L'doreis. It means to say that the Kohen is Bekihunai L'dayres. He remains, he must be in a state of Kohuna L'dayres, meaning that we mentioned previously that there's a din of Echibes Begad of HaKohen Bekihunai, which means that he must be wearing his Big Day Kohuna to do the Seder of Paraduma. And now we're saying this din holds true L'dayres also. So the Gemara says like this, so according to the opinion which said that although there's a requirement of Elazar HaKoyen by the Paraduma Shel Moshe, and Elazar was the Skan Kohen Gadol, but L'dayres, all one needs is a Kohen Hedyot, I understand the need to say that he must be wearing his Big Day Kahuna. El Lamanda Amar Ladoreis Bekain Godol. But according to the Deir, which says no, by Moshe it was the Skan, but Ladoreis it's even higher. That's even the Kain Godol. So if Ladoreis there's a requirement of a Kain Godol, so is there such a Havamina that there would be no requirement of Big Day Kahuna? So hash to Kain Godol Bein and Bikihune Miboy. What you think that although there's a requirement of Kohen Gadol, he doesn't need to wear his Big Day Kohuna? That seems to be a very strange Havamina. So why the necessity to write that? Says the Gemara, Ein Hanami, but in Mil Sada Asi B'Kal V'Chomer, Tarech V'Kasav Lakra. Yep. The reason why it says the word Kohen over here is even though it's unnecessary, but we have a concept which we find in many places in Shas, which is Mil Sada Asya V'Kal V'Chomer, Tarech V'Kasav LaKra. Now, the Mefarshim point out, and they say the following. I mean, we have this in the back in the Malay HaRoyim. The Malay HaRoyim says it's not so accurate what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara, he says like this, Nechta B'tzidu Mashma Mizeh, the af milsa da asya bigzeirishava tarach the cost of kra. Meaning to say, how do we know that there's a requirement of kain gadol, l'dures? So we said we learn out of gzeirishava chuka chuka, because it says a lashon of chayk by paraduma, and it says a lashon of chayk also by Yom Kippur. So therefore, from there, we learn that there's a requirement of kain gadol. So the requirement of Kohen Gadol is learnt out from Gzeirah Shavah. And still, Tarach, the cost of Lakra, to say the word Kohen, I understand Mil Sada Al Asya B'Kal V'Chomer, Tarach, the cost of Lakra, But do we ever say in Shas, Milsa de Asya Begzeira Shava, Tarach Vakasav Lakra? Says the Malay Arayim, from this Gemara, it's Mashma, the Af Milsa de Asya Begzeira Shava, Tarach Vakasav Lakra. On that he says, it's not so poshut. Right there, we already find the Machlekes about such a concept. And the way the Mefarshim explain is like this. The Lamashal, the Gvuras Ari, also is aimed on this point. And he says the following. We've spoken about this before. We know that A, of the Yud Gimel Midah Shatera Nidrashas Ben, a Kal Vachomer is logical. Right? In the Brayis of Rabbi Yishmael, we say that B'Shleishas Midah Shatera Nidrashas Ben, be Kal Vachomer. Kal Vachomer is simple logic. Now, there's a Mila and there's a Chisaron. Meaning the Mila is that because it's pure logic, so a person does not need a Mesera to dashna Kal Vachomer. If it's logical, I can say a Kal Vachomer myself. I don't need a Mesera, may Rabbi, and so on. That is the Mila. The Chisaron is that you're limited as to what you can do with your Kal Vachomer. You cannot use the Kal Vachomer to inflict some type of physical punishment on someone. The Gemara says, Ein Einshin Min Hadin. You cannot give a punishment based on a Kal Vachomer. Why? Because maybe there's a Pircha. Are you going to go ahead and give a guy Malkus? You're going to go ahead and give a guy Mises Bezdin based on your logic? May you think A is Kal and B is Chomer? Maybe actually A is Chomer and B is Kal. So how can you, based on your limited knowledge, your human intellect, go ahead and dash na Kal Vachomer to inflict physical punishment when maybe there's a Pircha? Now, if so, says the Gvuras Ari, I can understand. I mean, if someone asks us, what is the Pshat? Milsa de Asya be Kal Vachomer Tarach Vakasav Lakra. Why? I could learn that from a Kal Vachomer. Isn't the Torah very careful in sparing its words and not using any unnecessary words and letters? Why would the Torah write something if it could be learned out from a Kal Vachomer? So that is not so schwer, because maybe there's a Pircha on your Kal Vachomer. You just haven't thought about it. But maybe your logic is flawed. So I can understand the rationale for Milsa de Asya be Kal Vachomer Tarach Vakasav Lakra. But Milsa de Asya be Gzeira Shava, which by definition I need a Mesirah for, and I can't darshan it myself, and it ultimately is it's Niskabel at Sinai. So why the necessity for both Gzeira Shava and a Pasuk? That seems to be very difficult to do. And on that, the Malay Arayim is saying, L'cher from our Gemara, we have a Raya, that Milsa de Asa B'Gzeira Shava, Tarach V'Kasa L'Kra, which he points out is not so poshut. Now, we continue in the Psukim, in the beginning of Chukas, it says, V'Asaf Ish Tahar Es Efer HaPara. So, they would go, and there would be an Ish Tahar who would gather the ashes. So, V'Asaf Ish Tahar Es Efer HaPara, V'Hiniach, and he would place it down. So, we say the following, Ish Lahachshir Es Hazar. Meaning, there's no requirement of Kayin, meaning we've been discussing Kayin, 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 now it says Ish. So Ish must be telling me that even a Zar is kosher. Rashi explains pretty much in the middle of the page, maybe a drop down, Ish lahachshir Zar. Rashi says, Mishum de la'el mine airi b'kayin. Up until now, we've been speaking about a Kayin. Ksiv hacha, Ish lahachshir is a Zar. So, in other words, being that up until now, we've been speaking about a Kayin, so why, from the fact that it says Ish, it must be that it's coming to say that even a non-Kayin is acceptable. Meaning the E Kasa V'Asav Es Efra Para, had it just said V'Asav Es Efra Para, and he gathers the ashes of the Para, Havamina Akayin Delamine Ayri, I might have thought that it's going on the aforementioned. It's going back on the Kayin, and so on. And that's why it says the word Ish, to tell me that now we're coming to be Machshir, even a non-Kayin. Good, so V'Asaf Ish Tahar Es Efer HaPara V'Hiniach, Ish Lahachshir Es Hazar. Tahar, what is that coming to be? Marbe, Lahachshir Es HaIsha. It's coming to be marbe, a woman. But a woman is allowed to do the asifas ha'efa. She's allowed to gather the ashes together. And the hiniach, and it shall be placed down. It shall be placed down. Mi sheyesh beidas laniach. It's referring to someone who has das to place it down. Yotzu cheresh sheita v'katan she'ein men das laniach. To the exclusion of a cheresh of the katan who does not have the requisite level of das to be meniach. Good. So again, v'osav ish tohar. And the niach, the osav tells me even a zar, tar tells me even a woman, and the niach, and he placed it down. Placed it down means he placed it down with das and so on, the niach with das, to the exclusion of a cheresh shet of a cotton, that they do not have das. And it's interesting, we find in many places in Shas, we categorically exclude a cheresh shet of a cotton. We say that they're lav and a day and inhu, they don't have das, and therefore they are excluded. There is a discussion in the more recent poskim, in the last couple hundred years, with the advent of various types of education for the deaf, where they are able to be taught and educated with sign language and with regular tuition and various forms of education, to the extent that they're able to understand, and they're able to assess knowledge. Do we still say categorically that a cheresh is on par with a shaita? I mean, I can understand in former times if a deaf mute did not have any type of education which was available, but nowadays, when they have this, maybe they are different. There is an interesting discussion in the Divrei Chaim and the Maram Shik and other sources as to how do we view them. And there are those who say that really it would make sense to say that they are in fact treated like a pikeach. But nevertheless, it's not posh that we can actually pass in like that ladina, and therefore maybe it still is a suffix. So there is an interesting discussion as to halacha lemaisa. Do we say that a cheresh bizman hazeh, who clearly has been trained and has been educated and understands, perhaps we would say they are different than in former times. Fine. Good. Mishish l'das laniach, yad sucher shet v'katan shein men das laniach. Fine. Tanan hasam. We learned in the Mishnah in Maseches Parah. So we have a Mishnah in Maseches Parah, Perakei. What does the Mishnah say? Hakol kishirim lekadesh. Anyone is kosher to be mekadesh. Chutz mecher sheit v'katan. What exactly does it mean, lekadesh? Rashi says over here, lekadesh means losis mayim al ha'efer b'klicheris. In other words, you take the ash goes in a klicheris, and then you pour the mayim on top of the ash. So who is able to pour the mayim on top of the ash? Everyone is able to do so, with the exception of a cheresh sheita v'katan. If you look at the second thesis over here, hakol kishirim lekadesh, v'yesh Rashi hamayim al ha'efer, uba maseches parah v'kama duchta mashma shayu nesnim ha'efer al hamayim. Right, they would place the efer on top of the mayim. Mayim first, efer second. Ay v'had yachziv alakhu latamei mi'afar esreif esachates v'nosin olov mayim chayim el keli. The mashma mayim al ha'efer. The mayim went on top of the efer, like Rashi says. Yish lefarish v'nosin alav b'shvilo yeyitzin mayim chayim el keli v'adra b'mashma shamayim negim b'kli v'efer nesin aleim milamala. So Tezis has a way with dealing with that. Balkoparim, Tezis says that it's mashman many places in Maseches Parah that's not actually what was done, even though the simple reading of the pasuk v'nosin alav mayim chayim el keli is mashman like Rashi, but from the many Makaris and Maseches Parah, it's mashma that the Aether went on top of the Mayim. Fine. Al Kaponim, again, Hakol kshirim lekadesh chutz mecheshet v'katan. Rabbi Yehuda machshav katan upreis l'beisha mandragonis. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Katan yes. Isha v'andragonis no. Katan yes. Isha and andragonis no. Now, you would have thought, viewing these two shitas, like which one of these two shitas is the more mechudesh one. I mean, the Rabban and the Tanakhama say, with the exception of Cheshit of a cotton, they're allowed in a dea. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, a cotton yes, and a woman not. And nevertheless, the Gemara says, my time with the Rabbanan. What is the pshat in the Rabbanan? So the Gemara asks, on the Rabbanan shita, almost, you know, seemingly implying that the shita of the Rabbanan is more mechudeshtik. At least that's what the Rishonim and Achronim often are medayik, from the fact that we're asking my time at the Rabbanan first. So my time at the Rabbanan, that they say, chutz mecheshet v'katan, dechsev v'lakhu latameh. Oh, we are smack dab, a little bit below halfway down the page, in Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. First word in the line is v'lakhu.
Thank you.
V'lakhu. So again, my time at the Rabbanan, dechsev v'lakhu latameh ma'afar sreifas achatas. So what does that mean? Hanach the pasli lecha basifa, pasli lecha bekiddush. So those we passed by asifa, we passed by kiddush. Vahanach the achshi lecha basifa, achshi lecha bekiddush. Meaning, I forgot to bring my chumash with, but basically what we have is, meaning, what exactly is the drasha of the Gemara? It says that those we passed by asifa, we passed by kiddush. Why do we do that? Teretz is, previously it speaks about a sifa. And then it mentions which types of individuals actually need the ether para. And it mentions someone who is Tomei Meis, and a Geir B'Meis, and someone who enters the Oil HaMeis. So it kind of parenthetically mentions the individuals who will need the Tahara of Paraduma. And then it goes back, and it mentions Kiddush. So previously it mentioned Asifa, then it kind of interjects with the individuals who became Tamei Meis, and then it mentions Kiddush. So the Rabbanim say, if so, we will say that Hanach the Pas L'cha B'Asifa, Pas L'cha B'Kiddush, Hanach the Ash L'cha B'Asifa, Ash L'cha B'Kiddush, meaning that the two are dependent one on the other. Rashi says, V'lakhu L'Tamei, Basar v'asav yishtahar ksiv, zui avayde she'ach ha'sifa, first was the asifa, and then they would do the kiddush, and so on, and therefore we say it's a continuation. That is what the Rabbanan say. V'Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not so simple. In kain, le makra v'lakach. If it really is a continuation of what we said before, and before we spoke about v'asav yishtahar, so why not keep things consistent? V'asaf ish tahar, v'lokach. And then say, v'lokach, latameim afras reifasachatas. Why change from the singular to the plural? Again, review the in Cain, le'makra, v'lokach. My v'lokhu, oh, it's coming to add another individual. V'lokhu, tafilu katan, depaslil chahasam, achakasha. Even though beforehand we passed the cotton, now we're coming to go ahead and be machshu a cotton. If it says the Gemara Isha Minole, so how does he know that an Isha and an Andragonus, according to Yehuda, they are Nismayit? Because remember he said he's machshu a cotton and he passels the Isha and Andragonus. So Isha, Frank the Gemara, according to Yehuda, so Isha Minole. So that we say, v'nosan v'loy v'nosna. Because what does the pasuk say? V'lakhu latamei me'afar sri v'sachatas. It says, and then it says, v'nosan olav mayim chayim el keli. So the fact that it says v'nosan and not v'nosna, we say a man and not a woman. Now, the Rishonim are all bothered by the obvious question, and that is, if you look at Tezus over here, v'nosan v'loy v'nosno. Zog Jesus, Afogav d'chola tura kula v'loshen zachar nemra. Davilachi le'mimatin an isha, eleich d'chsev ish behedyo. So Fragtesis, don't tell me just because it's written in the masculine, that's the reason to be mamayit and isha. We don't usually do that. Otherwise, it would be mamayit to women from all different types of dinim. So what's the pshat? How can the Gemara say, because it says vinasan and not vinasna? What does that mean? It says, Tezis yeshlein mitashani acha mitashani krav b'dibure. Now there is a change, a noticeable change. Meaning the chsev v'lakhu lashon rabim, v'ad chsev v'nasan. Meaning in that very pasuk it says v'lakhu plural latameir mafazir zechatus and then v'nasan in the singular. V'ad chsev v'nasan lachidar shinan v'loy v'nasna. So from the fact that there is a change within the pasuk from rabim to yachid, clearly it's coming to show and coming to be meramez that there is some type of a drasha which needs to be made over here, and it's coming to say that therefore it's mamayit and isha and an androgynous and so on. So again, review the imkene v'gra. The reason why it's isha menale d'chsev v'nasan v'lei v'nasna v'rabbanan. How will the rabbanan? What will the rabbanan say to that? I mean, the rabbanan say that an isha is kshera to do kiddush. She is able to pour the mayim onto the efer, according to Rashi, or the efer onto the mayim, according to Tesis. So what will the Rabbanim do with Rabbi Yudhisthayna? So we see Rabbanim, E, Kasav Rahmana, V'lakach V'nasan, had things been kept the same, and it would have said, V'lakach, in the singular, V'nasan, in the singular, Havamina Ad Shakil Chad V'yahiv Chad, I would have said, it means until the same person who does the asifa continues now and does the kiddush. So Shimon goes and gathers the ashes, and Shimon goes ahead and does the kiddush. He pours the mayim on top of the ash. That's what I would have said. That's why it changed to the plural. So then now I realize, Bal Karchach, it must be referring to a different person. Therefore it says, V'lakhu. V'ikaz Rahmana V'lakhu V'nasnu. And had it said, V'lakhu V'nasnu, Havamina Adishak V'trei V'yavitrei. So I might have said that you need two to take and two to place, meaning V'lakhu Latame Mafasre V'sachatas. Two people need to be involved in taking the ash. V'nasnu, and two people need to be involved in the actual Kiddush. I would have said that also. That's what I would have said. I mean, Adishakli Trey, V'yavi Trey, Kasavachmana, V'lakhu, V'nasan, Dafiru Shakli Trey, V'yavi Chad. That still works. So that is the way we explain the Shita of the Rabban and the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. So again, so we said in this last Mishnah in Maseches Para of Hakol Kshirim L'Kadesh, to do the kiddush, which we said according to Rashi is pouring the mayim on the efer, or Tosfos the efer on the mayim, everyone is kosher to do so. According to the Rabbanan, the exception is chayushet of a katan. According to Beauty, the exception is ish and androgynous, and a katan is kosher. Now, we say like this: the pasuk says v'lakach ezoiv v'toval b'mayim ish tahar. So again, this is further on. This is the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, "V'lakach eze v'taval b'mayim ish tahar." So l'rabbanon, we will say ish v'la isha, meaning up until now, in the previously we said that even an isha was kshera. So now when it says "V'lakach eze v'taval b'mayim ish tahar," so the rabbanon will say, now it's coming to be mamayit and isha, ish v'le isha. The word tar, which is coming to be marbe, it must be marbe someone who up until now was nismayit, lashes a cotton, will come to be marbe a cotton. Now will come to be marbe a cotton. And you might ask, well, you know, why we marbe a cotton more than a cheresh or a shaita? So that tesis before dealt with in the third tesis down, Katan has the maila that eventually he will become a bardas, and therefore, if we have a choice of being marba one of these, so then we would do that. Okay, good. So we said it's coming to be a machshir katan. Vilre Yehuda, ish v'lei katan, whereas Yehuda previously said a katan is included. Now when it says ish, it must be, it's coming to be might, someone. So it'll be ish v'lei katan. And when it says tahar, and previously he said that a isha is nismayet, so now we'll say l'hachshir es isha. And as we said, you know, in this whole parsha of the beginning of the whole parsha of Paraduma, we have this statement of Ula, that kala parsha kula mashma mitzi miad mashma mashma mamela. You've got one mashmos, which is coming lafuke, a previous mashmos, and the previous pasuk. So you've got literally pasuk after pasuk, which we're kind of switching back and forth as we go through the various stages of the whole procedure of Paraduma, changing who is kosher and who is pasul and so on. Good. So now we speak about the actual hazar, the actual sprinkling. Hakol kshirim lahazois. Chutz mitum tumbandreginus v'isha. Now let's say everyone is kosher to do the hazar with the exception of a tumtum andreginus v'isha. The katan sheyesh beidas, some have the gears of she'ein beidas, isha misayase yomaz. A katan who doesn't have or does have das, so then a woman is able to be misayeh him and to be mazah. Can't do it by himself, but with his siwa. Koponim, it says at the beginning, hakol kshim lahazis, chutz, mitum to mandragonis v'isha. So a woman is not allowed to be mazah. Says the Gemara, V'loy Palig Rabbi Yehuda. And we don't see over here that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. I mean, up until now, we've always had a machlekes between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, beforehand, we had this discussion of when it comes to being Mekadesh the Mechatis. So the Rabbanan say an Ish is Kshera and a Katan is Pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says a Katan is Pasul and Ish is Kshera. Then when we spoke about the Taval, we said the opposite. Now we're speaking about Hazar, and it says, L'gabi the Hazar, the Tanakhama, the Chachamim say, that an Ish is Nismayit, and V'lei Palig Rabbi Yehuda. We don't find that Rabbi Yehuda argues on this, and to say, oh, I hold that an Ish is Kshera. So Amar Abaya, now, Kevin Amar Mar, Mashma, Meitzmi Ad Mashma, Mashma Meila, Palig, meaning we know, it doesn't need to actually speak it out. We know, we've said this cloud, that you always kind of need to look where you're holding and what's the next pasuk, and is the next pasuk coming to exclude in the next stage the type of person that we previously said is kosher. So being that we know that that is the basic structure, it's like a mashma, meitzimiyad mashma, and so on. So that is the structure of it. Kevna mamar. Mashma meitzmi ad mashma, mashma mamela, polig. So we know that he argues. Rashi says, "Kivna mamar the at al karchach lematzas lemeim bahai the mashma mamela the al karchach polig." So we know that Rabbi Yehuda would argue, and that Rabbi Yehuda would be machshir and isha, and therefore he didn't even need to speak it out. We know that that is what Rabbi Yehuda would do. Tosfos over here is a bit bothered. Tosfos says Tema Demu Dvitisevtiv Maseches Par Tanina Behedya. Rabbi the Machshir Bekatan says over there Lahedya that Rabbi Yehuda is Machshir. So you know what even was the Kasha? Tosfos says Shema Machshir Leishmiyale Abraisa. Maybe you never heard the Braisa, but Al Kafanim the Gemara says that there are times when we might find Mishnayos and Braisas which seemingly show that a Kasha on one of these opinions. Well, we have to bear in mind the basic structure which we said up until now, and therefore we will know ourselves that it must be, and that we can figure out this must be his shita over here. Good. Says it going like this. Now we continue with another pasuk. It says, "V'hiza hatar al atami." So who is being mazeh? Someone who is tahar is being mazer on someone who is tamei, meaning that the fellow who is tamei meis is obviously the one who is receiving the hazar. And it says, who is mazer on him? Veiza hatar al hatamei. It says the Gemara, tar michlau shehu tamei. Why does it mean to say he's tahar? Elamai, must be that he was previously tamei. Otherwise, just say veiza al hatamei. He's mazer on the tamei person. And the fact that the Torah is saying he is tar, it's mashma that he was previously tamei, and he was yatsa michlal that tumah. Limid al tful yoim shekasha bepara. It's coming to teach me that a tful yoim is kasha bepara, meaning he was previously tamei. He went to the mikvah by the yoim. He is a tful yoim, and he is kasha to go ahead and be mazer. And if you recall, we mentioned this Merdeka Rambam and Gimel of para. And the Rambam says an amazing thing, that there's no difference between a person who has been tahar his entire life, he's never ever become tamei, and an individual who is tamei his entire life, and now he became tahar, other than the fact that the second one is on a higher level of tahara. So the Rambam, why? From the fact that the Torah says about him, vitahar, or vitaher, you are tar. The first person the Torah doesn't say anything about. Nothing happened to him. Right? He was born tar. The Torah doesn't say anything about him. Oh, but if the Torah says about a person, you are tar, oh, so that chalois is meichel on the person a higher level of tahara than an individual that went their entire life in a state of tahara. That was this amazing Rambam in Gimel of Maseches Par. I'm sorry? That's exactly right. That's why the Gemara says when it says Vitar, Meiza Hatar Ala Tamei, it must be subtly alluding to the fact that he was Tamei, but now the Torah paskins on him, he is Tar. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, says the Gemara like this: Amr of Asi ki havo ba, Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish v'para. When Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were medaktik in Meseches Para, like we find many places in Shas, havo ba, v'havinan ba, like they were medaktik in it. So when they were medaktik in learning Meseches Para, le'maski mina ella k'may demasik talam yibei karva. Al Amri Mashma Maitsimiya Mashma or Mashma Mamela. Meaning to say, Rashi says over here, that when they were learning Meseches Para, let's see Rashi 4 lines down, the maski mine, Kalema Loy Hayu Mailin Mitecha Davra Chiddush Lies Yechilim Lechis Bishitasa Lahashvis Shiyehe Mikra Ise Kulam Maitsim Ze Miyad Ze Aikulam Miskaimin Ze Achaze. They were not able to come up with a very clear pattern. Either every single pasuk is coming lafuke the previously, meaning first we're speaking about a koyen, then we're speaking about a non-koyen, and then a koyen, then a non, or koyen. It's always, there's no clear seder. Sometimes it's mashma mitziyad mashma, sometimes it's mashma mamela. So it's very difficult to find a clear pattern, like a fox. When a fox treads on a plowed field, not actually doing much to the plowed field, they were not able to come up with any type of clear shita or structure in the Seder Psukim, because back and forth things seem to be different every time. Tani Tanaka made Rabbi Yochanan, and Amira said over the following braisa in front of Rabbi Yochanan. What was the braisa which he said over? What was the braisa which he said over? Tani Tanaka made Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Hashchitis Ksheirois Bizar Hus Mishal Para. Now, if you recall on that Mem Beis, we had a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav said that the Shchita of Paraduma is possible, bizarre, and Paroi, the par of Aranakoyan, is Kasha Bizar, and Shmuel said the opposite. So now here, the braisa says all shchitis akshir is bizarre, with the exception of paraduma. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said to this Amira, who said over this Braisa, Amalei, Puk Tani Labra. Take your Braisa and teach it outside the base medrash. I don't believe this Braisa. Loi Matsino Shchita Bizar Psula. We never find Shchita Psula Bizar. Meaning there is no such as Shchita is always Kshera Bizar. Always. Doesn't make a difference what it is. Shchita is not Avodah. Shchita is always Kshera Bizar. And therefore, I don't believe this Braisa is accurate. Says they go on an amazing statement. Rabbi Yochanan, kum tois, Rabbi Yochanan, lo yibay latana de litzayis, el afilu l'rabbi litzayis. See, not only does he not listen to the Tana, the Amira, meaning the Amira who's saying over a Braisa, lo yibay latana de litzayis, el afilu l'rabbi, but even to his Rebbe, litzayis. And the Amr, Rabbi Yochanan, Yishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehoi Tzadok, Rabbi Yochanan is saying over in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehoi Tzadok. What did he say? What does Rav Shimon Yitzchak say? Shchitas para bizar psula. Shimon Yitzchak says that the shchita of a para duma is possible if a zar does it. Like we said before, like shchitas rav. Vani oimer zakter b'yechen, and I disagree with Rav Shimon Yitzchak. Vani oimer kshera loimat sinu shchita shpsula bizar. We never find that shchita is psula bizar. So, number one, he's disagreeing with the Amira who's saying over the Braises, and he's saying, do me a favor, take that Braisa outside. Take that teaching outside. But even that which he's saying over in the name of Reb Shimon ben Yehoi Tzadok, who is a Tana, and it was something which he had been Mesera. I mean, I think the Rishonim say that when it says the Lashon of Mishum, it's not that he actually had heard it. I mean, very often Rabbi Yochanan says over from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Many, many places in Shas. Rabbi Yochanan was not a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, to the best of my knowledge. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and even though Rabbi Yochanan was a first generation Amira, but I don't believe he was actually Makabel directly from Rabbi Shimon. Nevertheless, it says, he said over Mishum, if it says Mishum, it means ultimately Adam Asera from, so he's even disagreeing with Etana, which is quite an amazing thing, his ability to be Chaylik on Tanayim, exactly where that comes from. Pashtus, as I think we mentioned before, we mentioned that Tesis brings a Raya, Tesis and Ksuvus brings a Raya. The Gemara says, Akash and Rav from a Braisa. And for the Gemara, Fosfrex Takash of Rav from a Braisa. Rav Tanu Polig. Rav has the halachic status of a Tana, and he's able to disagree with a Braisa. Then, you know, then Mamish, the next few lines, the Gemara says, Akash and Rav Yechanan, and he's Midchak. To come up with a yishuv. Says Tesis, why don't you just say Rabbi Yochanan Tana Upalig? And Rabbi Isaac Tesis, you see, Rabbi Yochanan is not considered to be a Tana Upalig. So, on the one hand, you know, we say that Rabbi Yochanan is not a Tana, and yet then we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan seems to argue on Rav Shimon ben Yehi Tzadok, and it's also difficult because Rav or Rabbi Yochanan, usually we say Halachic Rabbi Yochanan. So it's quite difficult to understand the, you know, the maimed of Rabbi Yochanan in Halach. Okay.
The number in Yishalayim is called a rabbi.
I'm sorry?
An Amora, based in...
Usually in Amora, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it says, it does say Rebbe, correct. It does say Rebbe, right. Correct. It will say Rebbe if the Amora is from Eretz Yisrael, correct.
All
Tanoim, it'll say Rebbe. Amoraim will usually say Rav, but if they're from Eretz Yisrael, they will say Rebbe, correct.
Yeah.
Okay, and we go back to, we say, Bo loy eitzel parashnia. So let's remind ourselves what we said in the Mishnah. So again, we started off the Mishnah by saying that he tied a Lashen Shel Zahiris on the Sir Mishtalech, and he placed it Keneged Beis Shiluchai, with the area where it's going to be sent out, and the Lanishchat, the one which was going to be Nishchat, he tied it Keneged Beis Shchitasei around the neck. And then it says, Bo loy eitzel para shnia. He goes a second time to his par, and he does smich on it, and he does vidui, and he says, On Hashem, chatasi visi poshati, lefenecha ani ubeisi, myself, and my bias, ubnei aron am kedoshecha. So he mentions himself, his bias, and Bnei Aaron am Kedusha. That's what he says. That's what the Mishnah says. That he says. Now, just to remind ourselves, in the Aflamet Hamud Beis, in the previous parak, it said, Bo lo ye'etzel paray. The Mishnah said over there, he comes to his par, and it says the place where it was standing, and it says, umizvade. And what did he say? Anashem avi, chatasi visi pashat l'panecha, ani obeisi, and so on. So, anashem tapan alavenes, l'pshem l'chatem, shavisim, shavishatim, shachatasi, like it says, and so on. So he's already done vidui, and he's already mentioned, who is he mentioned in this vidui? Ani obeisi. And now, Bo Loi was saying in the Mishnah that Bo Loi Eitzel Para Shnia, that he comes back to his para a second time. He does Smichiz Mizvada, and he says, Anashem Chatasi Visu Peshati, Ani Ubeisi Ubnei Aaron. So it's interesting, if you just look at the Tesis Yishanim over here, he says, Vim Temer Lamed Tzarech Leim Rekan Ani Ubeisi, Kevin Sha'amru Bividui Kama. He's already said Ani Ubeisi on Daf Lamed Hayomid Beis. When it says the first time that he came to his par, he said Ani Ubeisi. So why the need to reiterate?
Let me ask you a question. I mean, if he's saying the whole second vidui is meyutah, it's superfluous. Why?
It's not because he mentions all of the kahanim. He mentions all of the kahanim. So I understand why he needs to mention the kahanim, because he hasn't mentioned them up until now. But why does he need to mention again Ani Ubeisi? Just mention the kahanim. That's his kasha. Now he says v'chite mekaven shabah v'shvil kahanim. Maybe I'll say that because he's coming to mention the kahanim, yesh lichol atzmei imahen, therefore he needs to go and mention himself and include himself in them. V'hala kamon, gabi yisir mishtaleach, ikaman na'amesh mechapra ala kahanim, v'afilochi einamaz kebevidu Allah v'al Yisrael. Ela Yisrael? So it says that there's Yisrael v'shema. Kevin shnizvada kvar al parizeh, aben esof, being that he's already done a vidui on this par, and he's mentioned his averus, masker atzmi pam shenis alav kaven shle nishchat hapar v'le nigmara kaparosli adayin. So, because he didn't actually shech the par as of yet, and the kapar has not yet been nigmar, that's the reason why he's still mentioned. If the kapar hasn't happened yet. So until the kapara has happened, he's going to go ahead and he's going to mention himself yet again. And so on. So that is what the Tezis Yisharim said. Let's see the Gemara. So we see, Bala Yitzel Parashniya, Maishna Bevidu Rishon Dele Amra Ubnei Aaron Am Kedishecha. Maishna Bevidu Sheni Dele Amra Ubnei Aaron Am Kedishecha. So why the first one does not mention the Kahanim together with himself? Meaning the first time he mentions himself, and then only the second time he mentions Bnei Aaron. Tadavir Bishmael, Kach hi midas hadin neisenis. Mutav yavo yizakev yechaper lachayiv, v'al yavo yechayiv yechaper lachayiv. It's better for someone who's already zakai, meaning in so far as he has already done vidui. So even though the kapara is not nigmar, aber epis zakai is, a little bit of tahari is achieved by being mizvada, and therefore he is considered to be someone who is somewhat zakai, and it's preferable for a zakai to come and atone and attempt to atone on someone's chayiv. It's for this reason that the Pesukim say if a person is doing kaparis for himself and his family, the best thing to do is first do kaparis for yourself. Zeh kaparasi, zeh hanifasi, zeh ha tarnago, or kesef, whatever you use. Now you're a zakai. Now you go ahead and you go over to your wife or your family and you do kaparis for them. Because you are already zakai in some way, because you've already done some type of a vidui based on his Gemara, based on this Tanadavir Bishmal, and so. Let's see the Mishnah.
It's quite funny, actually, because when you're on the plane, and you want to put the seatbelt for your child, so put your seatbelt first and then the child.
Right. Well, I guess that's a different situation. Correct. Okay. Zog the Mishnah. Shachtei v'kibol b'mizrak esdam. So now he finally actually shechts his par, and he himself does the Kabbalah, like we've seen before, meaning he hands the knife over to someone else, and someone finishes off the shechita, and he is mekabel the dam. V'nois, now what does he do with the dam? V'nois me'mishu l'memarizpai, he gives it to the one who's going to be mixing it, because it's not going to be mizrak. It's not going to be spritzed immediately. First, they're going to do he's going to do the k'teris. So in order to prevent the blood from congealing, someone needs to mix it. So, v'neis l'mishu memaris bayit, al ha'rayvet ha'revish ve'echol. On the fourth slab of marble, now, the Lashon HaMar mission is in the heichol, which seems to imply in the heichol. We're going to see in a minute, it wasn't actually inside the heichol, because you were not allowed to have other kahanim in the heichol while he goes lifnai v'lifnim. It says, v'chol adam lo yiyeh ba'oil mayed. No kohen is allowed, no one is allowed to be in the oil mayed when the kohen goes lifnai v'lifnim. So the Gemara will explain, we'll see in a minute, the Gemara will explain what this means. But why does he do this? Kadesh la'yikresh, in order to prevent it from congealing. Now, not ha'machta, he takes a little shovel. He goes to the top of the Mizbech. He kind of moves the outer coals around and about in order to access the inner coals. And he shovels up from the burnt coals on the inside. The Yarad, he goes down. He places it on the fourth row of stones in the Azara. Now, the Mishnah goes on to explain the differences between Keteris, the whole year round, and Keteris and Yom Kippur. Every day, he would go and he would scoop up into a shovel of silver, with a shovel of silver, and he would pour into a shovel of gold. And on Yom Kippur, he would and use that same one to go in. In other words, we try to alleviate some of the physical difficulty. On Yom Kippur, he's doing all the avodah himself, and whatever we can do to make his life a little bit easier, we will do. That is one difference. He would shovel with one which weighed 4 kav. It was machzik 4 kav. Ma'ara b'seich shel shleishes kabin. Hayom chayte b'shel shleishes kabin. Uba hayamachnis. He would use a smaller one of 3. Rabbi Yisim and b'chayim chayte b'shel saw, which is 6 kav. Ma'ara b'seich shleishes kabin. Hayom chayte b'shleishes kabin. Uba hayamachnis. Okay. B'chol yom chayte kveda. He would use one which was heavy. Hayom kala. He would use one which is lighter. He would use a pan, a shovel, whose handle was short. And today it was a longer one. Right? Rashi explains like he would stick the long handle under his arm in order to kind of be able to use his body to support in the carrying. Every day he would use one whose gold was Yarek. Now, we nowadays translate Yarek as green, but it seems clear from various sources that it was lav dafka green, maybe it was actually more of a yellow color, and on this day it was one which was red. Divrei Rebbe Menachem. Holye makriv. Paras v'shachres paras bin arbaim. V'ayeh meisif melei chofna. Today, he's going to add a melei chofna. What was that additional one? Besides the amount which he brings in the morning, the evening, on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, here Rashi says, Mizbeach HaPnim Chafnov, Shemachnes Lefnai V'Lefnim. That is going to go Lefnai V'Lefnim, Levad Miprash Shachres V'Shal Arvis, which goes in the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Hol Yoyim Hoysa Daka. Every day the Keteris was fine. The Hayoyim Daka Min Adaka. It was extremely fine. Hol Yoyim Kehanim Oilim B'Mizrach HaShal Kevish. The Kehanim would go on the eastern side of the Kevesh, of the ramp, which is on the right side of the ramp, the Yardin Bevarav, meaning they would go on the right side of the ramp, they would go right, then they would go all the way around, and they would descend on the western, on the left side of the ramp. Whereas the Bach says, the Hayoim Oilin Be'emtza, the Yardin Be'emtza. And on that day he would go up in the middle, and he would descend in the middle. Always he would go up in the middle and descend in the middle. It's very interesting. Rashi says, what's the reason why on Yom Kippur he would go up the middle and down in the middle? So if you look at Rashi, about 10 lines on the bottom, meaning, I'm relaxed over here, so to speak. I'm like a ben bayis. I don't need to go in the far right in order to prevent unnecessary walking in these mekomes hakdoshim. I'm like a ben bayis over here when he walks up in the middle, and so on. The whole yom kain gadol mekadosh yada v'raglav min akiyar. He does from the regular kiyar like the other kahanim use. The hayom min akitin shel zav. There was a golden flask, and he used that to, excuse me, wash his hands from the Kitin Shel Zav. Rabbi Yudhaim Olam Ken Gadol Mekadosh Yad V'Raglav Min HaKitin Shel Zav. Pahal Yehim Hayu Shem Arba Marachis. How many Marachis were on the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach Machitzen, there were four. The Hayim Chamesh. Today there were five. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehim Pahal Yehim Shalosh Vayim Arba. Every day there were three. Today there was four. Good. You said at the beginning that he would give the mizrak of dam to a kohen, and he would stand on the ravad haravi in the heichal. But I thought we said that no kohen is allowed to be inside the oil mayad. The Heichel is the Ayal Mayad. Amarava Tani Shel Heichel. What does it mean when the Mishnah said that he would place it on the Ravid Ravi Sheb Heichel? It doesn't mean the Ravid Ravi Sheb Heichel. It's Shel Heichel. Rashi says, Tani Shel Heichel. Kishi Yotze Min Heichel Azara. When he goes out of the Heichel to the Azara, then Maynes Ravdin. So it's interesting, Lashon Rashi is he goes out of the Heichal to the Azara. Now we know that there was the Heichal, and then going out there was the Ulam, and then there was the Azara. So it's Medik and Rashi, he's going outside of the Heichal, outside of the Ulam, into the Azara.
What about the steps? The steps?
Yeah, yeah.
The steps coming out.
Yeah, yeah. He's going outside of all of that, into the Azara. Then Rabbanan, V'chol Adam La'yeh Ba'el Mayed, Yachal Afilu Ba'azara. I might think even in the Azara, no Kayan is allowed to be. No, Dafka Ba'al Mayyad. He's not allowed to be in the Ba'al Mayyad, but he's allowed to be in the Azara. Ainly Ella Ba'al Mayyad. I only know that this din applies Ba'al Mayyad, Sheba Midbar. Whereas, Shiloi Ubeis Elamim Minayin. How do you know that this din applies elsewhere, as in Mishkan Shiloi and Beis Elamim? And over here, there's a lengthy thesis. If you look at the beginning, the Chi Haigavna Amrinin Lekaman, the Perkei Tziulai, Legabe the Din of Mala Oshan, Perk Shnei Seiri, Tanya, it brings also, you know, what where very often we say, I know this applies in the Midbar, I don't know it applies in Shilai and Beis Elamim. Sometimes we do ask from a Makarius for this, and sometimes we automatically assume that it's the same thing. So here we say, how do I know that it applies in Shiloh and Beis Elamim? Tamar Lema Bakodesh. Therefore, no one is allowed to be. It says V'chol Adam Lo Yiyeh Ba'al Ma'ed, and it uses a lashon of Bakodesh. Ilachav Bakodesh. Thank you. Any place which is Kodesh, which includes Shiloh and Beis Elamim. Ainly Yela B'Shas Haktara B'Shas Matan Damim. You know, when he's also lefnayim lefnayim, how do I know it's also also to be there? Tamalimra bivoyoy lichaper. Eini ala bichnisasei. I don't know, even be yitziyasei, until he's fully out. Menayan Tamalemer Ad Se Soyer. Chiba Bad Bad Beis Bad Kol Kal Yisrael Kaparos Kedem is the Kaparos Beis. His Kapara comes before the Kapara of his Bayis. Kaparos Beis Kedem is the Kaparos Echav Kahanim. The Kaparos Echav Kahanim Kedem is the Kaparos Kol Kahal Yisrael. Okay, over there.